Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A glowing tree disintegrates into wisps of light. Terra Mater Film Studios. Flames become a spark on the edge of the letter V. Vulcan Productions. An SUV drives behind a car on a two-lane road. Dry patches of land on either side of the road give way to short trees and shrubs. Power lines run parallel to the road. A map of Africa appears. Blue color marks a southeastern portion of the continent. Words appear. Tanzania, Africa. Through a windshield, the road appears in muted tones. Inside the vehicle, a man holds an assault rifle. A group of men exit a truck bed. One of their helmets reads, "Police." A bald man straps on a bulletproof vest.
Shetani, the devil, has taken over. Taken over the guns. Taken over the syndicates. So he has become so powerful. He's the most notorious killer of elephants in this country ever known.
An officer scans with a flashlight.
We have intelligence that Shetani and his poaching syndicates are in this village.
Subtitles.
Open up, police.
Police, here, fungua.
An officer kicks open a door.
Where is Shetani?
Shetani?
Where is he? Show us where your gun is. Where is Shetani? Tell me.
Why aren't you giving him up?
You, get ready to shoot him.
Shetani employs these men to kill elephants. So we must get Shetani. At any cost, at any risk.
A large gun.
It is, of course, an elephant killing gun.
I was just given this gun.
Look at this.
This man is an elephant tusk carrier.
The bald man rubs the arrested man's shoulder with a finger.
Shetani became too clever. We were trying to lay traps. Before we laid our hands on him, he disappeared.
Smoke covers the sun. Words appear. A Netflix documentary. Light illuminates a blade in carved pieces of tusk. Terra Mater Film Studios. Vulcan Productions. In association with Malaika Pictures. In association with Appian Way. Beams of light shine into piles of tusks. The word Nairobi becomes visible on a tusk. Blood stains another beneath it. Words appear. Over the past 5 years, more than 150,000 elephants have been killed for their ivory. Scratches form detailed maps of African countries. Kenya. United Republic of Tanzania. Uganda. Zambia. Words appear. With populations in Western and Central Africa virtually gone, the mass killing is now spreading to East and Southern Africa. Above a map of East Africa, a detailed map of China marks a piece of tusk. Words appear. Criminal networks smuggle the raw ivory into China, where it is carved into luxury items, fueling a multi-billion dollar trade. On a tusk, a map of Hong Kong and its surrounding islands. Light and shadow move over more marked tusks. Words appear. If the trade continues, the African elephant could become extinct within 15 years. Four adult elephant figurines with two baby elephant figurines carved into the large end of a piece of tusk. The carved tusk rests on a pile of thousands. Superimposed words form over the endless pile. The Ivory Game. Now, a jeep drives through a savanna. A map of Africa appears. A blue icon marks a portion of Kenya. Chyulu Hills, southern Kenya. A dog sits in the jeep's rear cab. A bearded man drives. Three warthogs run away. The bearded man's arm rests on the jeep's open window as he drives. An elephant stands in an open patch of land. Two other elephants stand nearby.
Delta uniform from Charlie Mike.
Charlie Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, buddy.
Have you seen One Ton?
I saw another group, but One Ton wasn't there.
Thanks.
Tutonga. Okay, so they still haven't seen One Ton, and they've done a full circle around the area where he was.
Two elephants stand in the grass.
He's the biggest elephant we got left. We lost one of his colleagues earlier on in the year. He died just about 500 meters down that way after a poison arrow.
The image freezes. Words appear. Craig Millar, head of security, Big Life Foundation, Kenya. A baby elephant pulls grass from a nest in a tree and eats it.
Every elephant is at risk at the moment, even females and calves with only a couple of kilos. Poacher will still make a bit of money for that, for his effort.
The herd of elephants congregates. An elephant puts its trunk in its mouth. A calf puts its front legs on a prone elephant.
Every time something bad happens, you're losing much, much more than just an individual animal. Because elephants have an amazing memory and they can live 60, 70 years. And the passing down of knowledge and experience is something that's amazing to witness. The calves learn everything they do from their mothers. And they're much more connected to each other than even humans are these days.
Two elephants press their faces together. They turn and touch trunks. Now Craig walks with two uniformed men and a dog through the savannah. One of the men points. Craig holds a rifle. An elephant stands in the distance. Sunlight shines over Craig's head. Trees and grass obscure the elephant.
This is One Ton. And it's good news because he's just been up into the hills. Run down the other side into an area which is quite dangerous. It's his little friend. I'm not sure how they met, but they're oddly attached. He's really relaxed, but the little one can get quite fierce. So we've got to be a bit careful of him.
One Ton eats grass.
Left tusk is probably 2 meters long. He's got at least 70, 80 kilos of ivory on him. You're talking top 20 in the world, probably. I've heard stories about elephants hiding their tusks, and I've seen him do it once. Specifically when they know humans are watching them. They hide their tusks because they know their tusks are valuable, and they're definitely intelligent enough to figure it out. Any poacher would risk his life happily trying to get an animal like this.
One Ton walks forward with his trunk hanging down. His long left tusk nearly reaches the ground. He ambles through a patch of shrubs and small trees. His ears slowly flap forward and back. A silhouette of mountains stretch into the distance under a dusky sky.
My officers will search on this side of the hill. I will look with the Land Cruiser.
Night.
If they find any tracks or a carcass, we will decide how to respond.
7 o'clock this evening, 10 shots were heard by a mobile unit. We don't know what's happened yet. Now it's pitch black, so trying to find the scene. It's going to be really tough.
Craig drives through the savannah.
No matter how many men we had, no matter how many guns we have, every time it happens, you just feel like you're fighting against an avalanche that there's no way you can stop.
The Jeep's headlights illuminate the grass ahead. A giraffe runs in the opposite direction. The Jeep drives over a bumpy portion of road and stops. Rangers congregate.
So we don't really know if there is a carcass, and they might still be here, which is why it's still pretty dangerous in there.
Craig loads a rifle. He and the rangers walk through the grass.
The poacher's prepared to shoot at you, and you have to be prepared to shoot back. If you don't realize that, then you need to go somewhere else.
A ranger wears a beret. Another ranger in boots walks through the grass. A ranger stares at the ground. He makes a circle with his finger around a track in the dirt.
Let's follow it up the road.
Craig and the ranger followed the road.
But it was two people.
Yes, there were two people.
We still don't really know what happened, so we're bringing in S-Sport to provide us GPS coordinates to send teams in straight away. But the thickness of the bush and the size of the area means it can take weeks to find the carcass.
Craig stares into the distance. Clouds obscure the sun near the horizon. Trees stand in the sparse grassland. Elephants graze.
Elephants cannot protect themselves against concentrated effort to poach them. No matter what they do, firearms and poachers will win every time. So everything we do is aimed at helping those elephants fight back. But the reality is at the moment, we're everything they've got. And without us, they're dying all over the continent.
The wrinkled skin of an elephant's face. Its tusks curve gently upward. Now, a carved tusk depicts dozens of elephants. A city skyline. Then, the map appears. The blue marker moves from Africa to a portion of northeast China. Words appear. Beijing, China. A large tusk sits in a glass case. Elaborate designs mark its surface. A man looks into another case. An ivory Buddha statue sits inside. Plastic wrap tightly covers a dragon statue. Now, a video camera display shows dozens of ivory statues in glass cases. The man's reflection appears in the glass.
This little statue, it's about $10,000. And this beautiful sword here, this is $200,000. And this tusk here painted is a bit less, $170,000, $180,000.
She told me the price has already been 20% higher than the former years.
Can you ask her how heavy is the weight?
More than 15 kilometers.
15 kilos, yeah, okay. So this piece is around $330,000.
A colorful and elaborate nature scene decorates the tusk. The man stares into the case.
I saw many dead elephants in my life, unfortunately. The first one was a little elephant called Zambezi. He was hacked. I had literally tears in my eyes. And from that moment, I basically devoted my life to try to make a difference.
Words appear. Andrea Crosta, head of investigation, Wild Lakes. Now Andrea walks on a crowded city street. Next, at the ivory shop.
The reason why thousands and thousands of elephants are slaughtered every year is because we have a legal market in China. The problem is that this legal market can rely only on a small quantity of ivory that the Chinese government distributes every year. It's about 5 tons. It's not enough, 5 tons. The demand is much higher, you know. So they actually have to work illegal ivory.
Dozens of intricate ivory figurines.
Imagine to have in Europe a legal market for cocaine or heroin. Well, it would be really easy to launder cocaine and sell it as legal. When you find in a shop cocaine, it is legal or illegal. And with the ivory, it's happening exactly the same. You have a legal market for something that is basically illegal all over the world.
Andrea rides an escalator down. Lights shine in Beijing's buildings.
We are talking about hundreds of tons of ivory getting into mainland China every year.
Now Andrea walks through a street market.
Ivory trafficking is a serious business. There are powerful individuals that are making a lot of money, and they are able to control politicians, security officers. So you don't easily go to police to report a crime. It's extremely dangerous. You risk your life.
A neon sign blinks above the market stalls. A man sits in a swinging chair.
You cannot trust anyone. That's why we set up Wild Leaks. The first initiative in the world dedicated to wildlife crime whistleblowers.
In a hotel.
I'm launching the Tor browser.
It was uploaded yesterday. We don't know where it's from yet.
All right.
Okay, you see it.
One sec.
Andrea selects a file.
What is this? There's no message. There's just this video. Like, It's a pile of ivory. Wow.
A video shows a pile of large tusks.
There is a gigantic tusk. Unbelievable.
We received a submission through the Tor platform, so completely anonymous. Tor is a technology developed by the U.S. Navy, so it's impossible to trace back your connection to us.
More footage of tusks.
I see some numbers and R149039.
They obviously have access to some stuff.
Can you share this video with a couple of our most trusted collaborators, you know whom?
Okay.
They might help us to check all these numbers and all these written parts on the tasks.
We'll get on it right now.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow this time.
All right.
Okay, bye, Mike.
Andrea presses his phone. Neon lights glow on buildings across the Beijing skyline. Now, a small plane takes off over an open field. Mountains stand in the distance. Inside, Craig pilots the plane. He wears a headset. On the ground, a herd of 13 elephants saunter across the savannah. Craig looks out of the window to his right.
Elephants are pretty amazing, really. They have feelings like a human. And their reactions to the deaths of other elephants shows clearly that the feelings they have for one another goes far and beyond our understanding.
The herd gathers around an elephant skull.
Elephants revisit scenes of where another elephant's died. They come and feel the bones, they smell the ivory if they're still there. They've been known to go and collect tusks that have been taken away from a carcass and return them back to the same carcass. And there's clearly a lot more going on in an elephant's brain than anyone's ever realized.
An elephant rubs the skull with its trunk. Then its trunk moves downward and touches a tusk. The elephant's feet pass by the skull. Another elephant moves its head to the left and back. Now, patches of grass and shrubs grow from ruddy dirt. On the map, the blue marker stretches from Kenya into Tanzania. Words appear. Tsavo National Park, Kenyan-Tanzanian border area. A grassy expanse of the arid savanna. A truck sits amidst the scrubby trees and tall grass. Elephant carcasses lie on the ground. Two men stand nearby. Two others search the area. Craig blinks. Then, he rubs his eyes. A piece of trunk lies on the ground. Three rangers point at a rotting carcass. Craig looks at another.
I can see how close together they all are. They poachers must have had a very well set up ambush. Whether the elephant sensed danger before the poachers started shooting, we won't know, but as soon as they did, they would have all clustered together to, you know, just to protect the babies. You know, we found more than 10 cartridges here. Who knows how many they picked up.
A ranger holds a bullet casing.
The poachers from southern Tanzania now seem to be spreading out a bit. This gang, we know there were 3 Kenyans, 4 Tanzanians. So very professional, knew exactly what they're doing. Horrible thing to think, the whole family all clustered together and probably wasn't even aiming.
Leaves obscure an elephant carcass.
She would have been the first to go down, whereas that one, obviously got wounded a little bit and managed to run 20 or so meters. Not far enough there.
A ranger stands next to the carcass. He moves his hand on his hip. Craig covers his face. Then he stares at the slaughtered elephant. He looks away. Flies swarm around the carcass. Craig puts his hand on his head. He walks toward one of the rangers.
Traders in ivory actually want extinction of elephants. And that is probably the biggest danger. The less elephants there are, the more the price rises. The more the price rises, the more people want to kill them. And this is an ever-ongoing circle that is just going to end up bringing about exactly what they want. Extinction.
The elephant carcasses in the truck from above, their recognizable forms become indistinct as more of the savanna is revealed. The tops of trees dot the reddish ground. Now, two large hills stand out from the flat landscape. On the map, the blue marker moves from Kenya to Tanzania. Words appear, Manyara, Northern Tanzania. Two trucks drive on a road.
I've just sent you a message. Yeah, this is a very important informer because he's going to assist us to get the culprits for the Tsavo killing at the border between Kenya and Tanzania in Manyara, all right? Of course, the biggest one that we are seriously looking for is Boniface Mariango, alias Shetani. His actual photograph we haven't got, but his physical appearance we can describe.
A drawing of Shetani.
We are running more than six informants now, working on him, for every movement he makes.
Words appear. Elisifa Ngoi, head of intelligence, the task force, NTSCIU, Tanzania.
The nickname Shetani means the devil. The name is derived from his cruelty, particularly. One collection from him can range between 500 kilograms to 1,000, 2,000, up to 3,000 kilos of ivory. He's the number one wanted poacher right now, responsible for more than 10,000 elephants as a single man.
On a dirt road, the trucks turn. Now, a man picks up a tusk from the trunk of a jeep. Another man wears handcuffs.
He is Maasai by tribe, a Christian, 64 years. He's living at Makame Keteto.
64 years old. He can still carry a gun and kill an elephant. Jesus Christ.
Elisifa stares. Now men weigh the tusks.
Each tusk here weighs 15 kilograms. This suggests that this was a very big elephant. If it was a she was still productive. We must have lost several elephant babies by the killing of this elephant.
A man writes on the tusk with a marker. Another takes a photo with a tablet.
It's a loss to our country.
The photo shows the trafficker with both tusks over his shoulders.
How many shillings did you get for it?
$250 US. Per kilo? No, for everything.
That's about $7. $7 a kilo. In China, this would fetch $3,000 a kilo. So this old man, with all these hardships he's facing in the bush, and the life he's risking in the bush, when he sells these products to Shetani in his luxurious house in Dar es Salaam, where he has a posh house, he's getting only 6%, while Shetani goes away with 94%. If he continues this business, there's no chance for the sons and daughters, or his grandsons and granddaughters to find an elephant in this country. They can only hear of an elephant in the history books and see elephants in pictures.
A sweeping plain of cracked earth. Small areas of vegetation are scattered over the vast savanna. Two elephants walk across the barren landscape.
We had over 100,000 elephants.
Elephants.
Only to come down to less than 50,000 within 5 years. We cannot sit down and look at this happening. It pains me a lot to see these greedy men who just want to get easy money by merely killing ruthlessly these animals. It pains me a lot.
Alasifa looks out of his car's windshield. The road stretches out through the scrubby landscape. In the distance, a large hill rises above the savannah. In a plane, an Asian man in glasses sits near a window. The window frames the plane's wing. Light shines on the man's face.
In the past, it's always like white people are the good guys, the local black people are the bad guys, and the Chinese people are the extremely bad guys. And I think it would be different if this time we can have some Chinese actually being the good guys in this ivory war.
The image freezes. Words appear. Hong Zhang Huang, Chinese activist, investigative journalist. Huang holds an open container of SIM and SD cards. He places a used SIM packaging inside and closes the container.
Since I was very small, I always have a strong passion for animals because every time on my way to the primary school, we would pass a market that people sell like alive animals and slaughter them right there. Every time I pass there, I feel very sad to see the small animals being slaughtered. So I guess from then on, I already have a wish that someday I wish I can protect the animals that I love.
On the map, the blue marker moves north from Tanzania. Words appear. Kampala, Uganda. Cars fill a busy city street.
Because I have this experience as a Chinese journalist doing undercover work in Africa, Ophir is now one of the best person for me to work with.
Ophir Drouri, undercover investigator, Israeli ex-military officer.
He's professional. He's been doing these undercover investigations for, 10 years? So he really have a lot of experience. Although sometimes he seems a little bit crazy, but still, I believe he is going to try to make this as safe as possible.
Ophir walks through a busy street. Now he rides in a van with Huang.
Every target that we have came from an investigation that was in the heart of 5 different syndicates. These are people who are handling containers of ivory.
Huang is very independent, individualist. He's very creative. That's also another quality that's very important in an investigator. And he has a strong motivation. But it needs a lot of polishing, and we need to see if it works. So there is still a long way. And as we say, you use business words. We're trying to expand. We do timber. We do some minerals. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of work in West Africa.
Well, I prefer to say South and East Africa. That's a place that I have actual knowledge. In West Africa,
No, because South and East Africa is where he has knowledge. So he can check you out.
In a hotel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
I was given a list of names, and they are all major traffickers in Uganda. My mission is to use myself and my partner as a bait to get them to show us the ivory they have and then get them arrested.
More than my Chinese is difficult to see. Yeah, no, I think it's very okay.
When they say white, that means ivory. And if they say black, it means the rhino horn.
I want to review your targets one by one. This is the last meeting, right?
Yeah. She's already there.
Okay, we'll start with the phone calls.
A photo on a laptop shows a man sitting at a table in a van.
Hello, Joshua. Do you have any ivory, especially raw ivory? Because you see, I have great connection with someone in China who is looking for ivory right now in Beijing. So do you have ivory right now also? 200 kilograms with you. Oh, okay, no problem. So you give me back the phone to Juliet. Hello, Juliet. So you are now going with them. Make sure you use our own car because this could be a trap, okay? So how...
The driver wants to know where you are.
Okay, so the driver have asked me, like, where are you right now? So are you in? You are still in their car?
Yeah.
Have you seen the merchandise?
It's in sacks. In sacks.
So, do you think that Mr. Joshua is serious?
Yeah.
Bannon, you hear me well? Listen to me. We're heading for an arrest. And what will happen is that we bring another car, which will be a 4x4, white. When it comes in, it will have a Chinese guy, which is our guy. And they'll move after him wherever he goes to conduct the arrest immediately when products are being seen.
Listen to me.
Okay?
I would insist, because as a Chinese, I won't go into that place. They have to attack the things.
I understand, but I doubt they will. I understand you, but I doubt they will. Okay?
Okay.
And Tinka is armed. He has a pistol. Okay?
Yeah. You are going to meet the criminals, and you don't know what is going to happen, whether they will spot your hidden camera, whether they will bring someone to search you, whether they will... Well, whether they will actually shoot you if they found like you are investigators. You are the one who are going to be alone facing the traffickers.
From above, the white van drives along a sparsely trafficked city road.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
They are bringing the merchandise here for me to see in my car.
Yeah.
And there will be a car coming here, bringing the merchandise.
Okay.
And we'll see in the car. Ask the policeman to be ready.
Say it again.
Wait a second. I need to make sure it's... Juliet! Juliet! Come to me.
Yeah.
Ask Tinker to come out of the car. Okay. To stand here.
I was very afraid, so he took the things to the car to show us.
Wow.
Several large sacks sit on the floor of the vehicle.
And then we have the arrest.
Shaky camera feed.
Shoot! Shoot!
You handcuff him. Handcuff this man.
Police handcuff a trafficker. A man holds a rifle. A photo of the trafficker appears. Then, a photo of tusks on a scale.
I feel quite satisfied with this operation because local criminals, they seldom suspect me. Because unfortunately, they just never imagine like a Chinese could be on the right side of the ivory and rhino horn battle. So I realized, oh, this time I can make some difference. I can be part of the change makers.
Wong stares into the distance. Now the shadow of a plane moves over the dry ground. On the map, the blue marker covers a portion of southern Kenya. Words appear, Amboseli Ecosystem, southern Kenya. Craig sits in the passenger seat of the plane. It descends. Words appear beneath the pilot, Richard Bonham, Director of Operations, Big Life Foundation.
This is the real trouble area. It's not surprising, there's no barrier at all to stop the elephants coming in.
Okay, push straight them on, man.
There's one place made for elephant conflict, this is it.
Yeah.
The plane flies over farms.
Must be so tempting for them coming into all this maize.
Yeah, when there's no water, they don't have an option, they gotta come here.
Yeah.
Richard looks through the passenger side window.
Where the heck have they gone?
The plane's wings tilt.
There's an alley right there.
An elephant, yeah.
Lots.
A lot of them. Should we go around and have
a look?
The plane banks to the right. A herd of elephants trot across a field below.
Oh, that's right. Look at them. There's a cow calf there. Nice one.
Craig and Richard look out of the window to the right.
Yeah, they're the ones the guys have been complaining about.
The herd moves over the grass, a flock of white birds above them.
I wonder how the elephants have died that have been spared coming into these farms now.
That's him with them.
Go around and have a look.
There's a big tusker with him. I think it's Tim.
The plane's propeller rotates.
Look at that. Beauty.
Tim, a large elephant with long tusks, stands alone in a field shaking his massive head. Tim walks off to the left.
He's on his way into the farm. By 8 o'clock tonight, they'll be in the farm right here.
From above, small buildings are clustered in a circle.
It's people and wildlife living in the same place. When elephants are damaging areas of farmland, that farmer's not going to view an elephant positively. And as long as that continues to happen, poaching is going to be something that's accepted. At the very least, it's getting rid of something that's ruining your livelihood.
Dusk. The Jeep's headlights shine. The vehicle drives through the dimly lit savanna. Craig looks through the windshield into the darkness.
We got a call saying there are elephants in a farm. You guys need to hurry. There's a lot of people coming. You know, they're all getting... they're just sick of it. And they're going to kill an elephant, or as many as they can get.
Through night vision goggles.
The Ellies are just here. They were seen here about 5 minutes ago. Two different groups. Possibly Tim's in one of them.
A murky landscape of tree trunks and bushes.
We just saw a lot of them there.
They are right there?
Two elephants exposed through the night vision display.
The Ellies are already pretty pissed off. You can see there's a big group of people, about 15 or 20 of them, trying to chase them out, shouting and screaming. so they're not in a good mood. You could hear them rumbling and screeching to each other. So we just gotta keep our distance and then we can hopefully push them pretty quick. You'd rather we do it than they do it. And either one of those is gonna get wounded or one of them's gonna injure an elephant. And if one of them gets wounded, then they demand we shoot an elephant, which is ridiculous, but it's what happens.
Now, a flashlight shines into the grass. Craig leads a group of rangers. They approach a growing crowd. Craig turns.
Today, this elephant, we will kill.
We will kill.
Yes.
You look at any one of those people and you know they could kill an elephant for sure. And killing an elephant is a real short step to becoming a full-blown poacher.
A man runs off.
Someone shot an elephant over there and they thought they saw one and they run to go and kill it.
You guys ready to run? We've got to catch before they cross the road. Follow me. Keep coming.
A ranger runs through the tall grass. A flashlight shines on his back.
Is he in the fence?
Yeah.
Here they are.
Craig shines a flashlight. In the night vision display, a tusked elephant lifts its trunk.
Throw it, throw it.
The rangers throw flash grenades.
Yeah, they're running out that way.
In the night vision display, an elephant walks away. The crowd gathers. Men hold makeshift spears.
Calm down, let's talk.
My fellow men, please listen to me.
Listen, do you see these bananas? These bananas are for my children, not for elephants. You see this maize? It is for my children, not for elephants. You see these oranges? They take my children to school, not elephants. From today, we don't want to see elephants on our farms. We don't want them. Lock them.
And what do you think is the solution?
The solution is to kill them.
A fence.
Electrification.
I agree, but you know the fence.
It is expensive.
We will ask countries in Europe for help. But everybody will have to contribute something. You will have to protect the fence once it is erected.
We'll take care of it. If you're lying about the fence, the elephants will be in danger. The elephants will die.
That's exactly what we're scared of. Human wildlife conflict doesn't sound as bad as poaching, but it doesn't take long for it to become as bad and then become poaching.
The eyes of two elephants glow in the night vision display. On the map, a dot marks the corner of Kenya. Words appear. Residence of Richard Bonham, Chayulu Hills, Kenya. An elephant drinks from a pool. It puts its trunk in its mouth.
Hey, hi, Richard.
A group of people sit in a living room.
No. Hang on, Richard. I'm just going to put you on loudspeaker. I want Craig to hear this.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I know this is going to be bad news. Go ahead.
Well, it's not confirmed, but I think one of the big tuskers has been nailed. It's right in the area where Sakao, you know, that big tusker that he's been monitoring for some time.
And you think it's him? Don't tell me.
Yeah, we saw the carcass, fresh carcass, and then landed and went there on the ground.
Savo Trust confirmed that Satao was shot dead by poisoned arrows.
I mean, my gut feel is 100% it's him.
Kenya's most famous elephant in Savo East National Park is dead. The giant elephant, a tusk that nearly reached the ground, and is believed to have been one of the world's largest living elephants.
A photo of Satao, a huge elephant with massive tusks. Other smaller elephants stand behind him.
I mean, how have we got to this stage as a human race when we just lay waste to everything anything we value, anything we see just gets consumed? I don't know if it's ever going to make a difference and if we're ever going to do enough, but we've got to try. That's all there is to it, really.
An elephant casts its gaze downward. Craig stares ahead. Then he lowers his eyes. Next, another elephant eats stalks of grass. An elephant calf walks over dry grass. It grazes with its trunk. Now, a crane lifts a shipping container. Trucks drive near a harbor's edge. On the map, the marker moves from Africa to southern China. Words appear. Hong Kong, Special Administrative Region of the People's Republic of China. Andrea narrows his gaze. Light shines through buildings behind him. Containers fill a massive ship in the harbor.
I mean, where do I begin? Look at that. Thousands of tusks can be hidden in these containers already. Straight from Africa. And route to China, or here maybe. So that's so sad to see that the end of these beautiful animals is here, in a container, in a rusty container.
A crane lowers a container onto a stack of others.
I think that Satao can be in any of these containers and route to a carving factories, and very soon Satao will be chopsticks, rings. That's the end of Satao here.
A crane cabin moves along a track over dozens of containers. Cables hang in front of the cabin. A container moves toward the ground. Next, Andrea sits with Alex Hofford, investigative journalist, at a laptop.
WideLeaks received another leak from the same source with a very interesting document from Hong Kong Customs with very interesting addresses here in Hong Kong of over 100 shops that sell ivory.
Here, there is the site he's licensed to possess. And they've been doing some funny tricks, you see? They're blacking out the name. And down here, they're blacking out the quantity, the amount that they're allowed to possess. They're blacking it out. And they are in Chai Wan, which is on Hong Kong Island in the Eastern District.
We need a Chinese investigator. And I think we have the man, Hong.
Will change just 5% mm-hmm. of who you are. We'll change your name.
Ophir Drori assured me that Hong was the person I was looking for.
It's possible that they're linked to some gangster and weapons and drugs.
Yes.
Okay.
In Hong Kong, organized crime is never far away.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the triad activity is just beneath the surface.
In a car.
Plugged in.
Let's turn it on. Check 1 second.
That's it. It's working.
Wait, security guard's coming.
A hidden camera feed plays.
Hi.
Wong walks with a woman through a parking lot. They descend stairs.
The mystery to me is how this ivory trade network is really operating. I really want to find out where are the weak links that we can break to stop this network.
Now, in an ivory shop, an intricate carved scene of figures, birds, and dragons covers the length of a tusk.
The only concern I have when I'm acting against the Chinese criminals is that because the strong nationalism in China, I may be seen as a traitor. I don't want to be seen as a traitor because I believe I have been fighting so hard for China's positive image.
The hidden camera feed shows ivory trinkets on a shelf. Wong stands inside of a shop.
Deception is a very, very powerful tool. And Hong, he's very deceptive because he can basically go anywhere. And nobody would imagine that he's actually investigating and recording undercover and stuff like that.
Wong meets with the shop owner.
The shops I have been to before had so little ivory.
I have several tons. I have 4 tons.
4 tons?
Not in the shop, in the storage.
You have 4 tons?
Yes. What is strange about that?
You must have a huge storage.
Oh.
Because they have a lot of stock, of course. Mm-hmm. No, it's a lot of money, 4 tons.
Actually, that's a question we asked. Based on what he said, one boy is like, what, at least 1,000 Hong Kong dollars.
Wow.
If it's 2,300 a kilo, right?
Yeah.
And he's sitting on $9.2 million worth of ivory.
A guy like this, you expect to be connected. You expect him to be connected to the upper layers.
Of course.
He must be connected to the suppliers and to
somehow, right?
And yeah.
Now people walk on a busy street. Neon signs glow over shops.
In China, ivory is a luxury item that some rich people see as a status symbol. Many people still see animals as part of the natural resources that they can use. This is the same as why everyone buy diamond, why everyone buy gold. It is not like in the West that most people see animals as living beings that they are.
An ivory sculpture of a bird on a branch. Illuminated buildings stretch up into the night sky. Cars drive on a street below. In a car.
We are dealing with real ivory investors, speculators. So they're stockpiling because they are sure that the price will rise and rise and rise. That's the future of ivory.
Now the hidden camera feed plays. The feed displays a carving factory.
All my ivory products are legal. When ivory was outlawed back in 1989, we registered our stock with the Hong Kong government. But the record was not in detail. So, when we sell ivory, I can now use illegal ivory to fill up my stock. And ivory can be legalized this way. The government has absolutely no idea how to regulate this.
Pixels cover the man's face.
This person is explaining the whole process, and it's unbelievable. I mean, in itself, it proves that the system they have here in Hong Kong is heavily flawed. So what do you do? What do you do? It's I mean, personally, it's I don't sleep at night sometimes because I have this information and I don't know with whom I can share it. And I know that if I share it with the wrong person, bye-bye.
Andrea shakes his head and shrugs his shoulders. Now an SUV and Jeep drive over an arid landscape. On the map, a dot marks an area of Tanzania. Words appear. Sumbawanga, Western Tanzania. Dirt trails behind the vehicles. Inside the Jeep, Elisifa sits in the passenger seat.
It is more than fighting a war. The most difficult part is to identify the enemy. The business itself is conducted secretly. The buyer is secret, the seller is secret, the killer is secret. So everything is secret. Very different from conventional war.
Elisifa faces forward. A light shines through the windshield. The light dims and softens. Now, at a checkpoint.
Our main problem is Shetani. Shetani has given warning to our unit that it's either him or us. Meaning he's ready to kill my officers, and my officers know this.
It seems like this town and whole area is awash with illegal firearms and are being used for terrorism as well as poaching.
In night vision, Elisifa uses a flashlight.
We discovered that Shetani has ordered some guns to Zambia. We want to arrest those guns before they get out. Four AK-4s and two shotguns.
Hello? Hello? Anybody here?
The officers turn from the door. An officer reaches for a barred window.
You, open up. Police, open up.
A man opens the door.
Do you have a gun? Where is it?
Inside.
To me, it is not a pleasure to arrest somebody with ivory. To me, it's a pleasure to arrest somebody with a gun.
An agent smells the chamber of a shotgun.
If I can snatch the gun away from him, I'm protecting the living elephants.
The agent shines a flashlight on a motorcycle.
This motorcycle, it is from the bush. It has no plate number on it. This is because when they go hunting, they don't want to be recorded, so they go without the plate number.
An officer moves the motorcycle.
Fighting anti-poaching is also saving our country from terrorists. Some of the poachers, they go hunting for elephants, sell the ivory, get money, buy more arms for their jihad war, which is terror war.
A woman holds a rifle. Inside the house, a shotgun lies on a table. An agent takes a photo.
It has a bullet inside. It's in the chamber. Do you know how to use it?
No.
Why is there a bullet in the chamber? It is a pump-action gun. See? The bullet is in the chamber.
The agent cocks the gun.
Among the bullets that we collected, there was one with a white coverage. That was a very strong bullet. A single one can bring down an elephant, and the gun here is used for that business.
An agent takes a photo with a tablet.
We have discovered 14 different syndicates, all belonging to Shaitani. They can go with 1,000 bullets, and 50 AK-47s as a hunting group. So you can imagine what would happen if a herd of elephants is found or is caught up. You can imagine the kind of massacre that will come out of that.
Now, a plane descends over a desert runway. On the map, a dot marks an area of Kenya. Words appear. Headquarters, Northern Rangelands Trust, NRT, Northern Kenya. Zebras scatter from the runway. The plane glides toward the ground. It lands. A herd of elephants grazes nearby. Craig exits the plane. An attendant unloads baggage.
There's only one solution to bring human-wildlife conflict under control, and that's an electric fence. Without, people are going to kill the elephant. We've managed to buy some time. The reality is, if fences aren't put in very soon, thousands of people are going to run out of patience. And no matter what you have in place, thousands of angry people going out to kill elephant are unstoppable, and it's a race against time.
Huts beneath radio towers. Craig points at a map.
At the moment, we're looking at fencing all along there, and this one's actually ongoing, from Kibwezi to the north of the Chulus.
But not onto the Kilimanjaro.
Kili, not that one.
The image freezes. Words appear. Ian Craig, Director of Conservation, Northern Rangelands Trust.
So we got the same issue, but probably 10 years behind you guys, or 20 years, probably even more.
There's such cool lessons to be learned from Lewa.
Yeah.
You know, because we really were put against the wall. And there was one old chap called Mountain Bull, and he would just cut straight across here. Total disregard for fences. When he wanted to go,
straight through,
he just went. But we got the underpass here under the main road, and it's only 20 metres wide. And actually, they put vanilla on the rocks. Don't ask me why, but elephant like vanilla. Okay. And it drew them in there. Once one elephant had used it, then everybody started using it.
Straight away.
And it was all pretty simple.
So now they're still
now they're all going through.
Ian Craig's an amazing guy. He's someone who's had decades of experience in conservation, from anti-poaching to the ivory trade. You look at him and he's got his battered shorts and shirt on. He's wearing his All-Stars and no socks. But he's got a private line straight to the US government, the UK government, and the royal family, and gets these guys to do what they can to help us.
You know, we put in about $600,000. We got a conference call on Monday again. There are two events in New York. One is with Hillary Clinton, where they are coming behind the EPI. If we could do that, we've changed the future for elephants. Simple as that, just with a stroke of a pen.
An elephant wipes its face with its trunk. Now, a plane flies. The plane soars over a tree-covered hill. Trees and shrubs cover the dry ground below. Mountains loom in the distance. Ian looks through a window. The plane banks over a dry riverbed.
There's a collared elephant in that group. What I'll do is I'll put in an armed team here in the next few days. You know, these elephants are really vulnerable here.
I see that we're at a watershed on the elephant crisis. Helicopters and guns and anti-poaching and intelligence, with all the energy and the best resources in the world, we can't win this war. Simply not enough men to patrol the ground or cover the ground. We need a political solution to this problem.
The plane flies. Now a city skyline. Words appear next to the map. Nairobi, Kenya.
The The country has embarked on an inventory of national ivory and rhino horn stockpiles.
This is not just a wildlife issue, it's an economic livelihood issue, it's a security issue, it's an economic issue, and it's about Kenya's place in the world.
The inventory process will yield a digital national ivory and rhino horn database. This database will be stored on a secure server, hosted and maintained solely by Kenya Wildlife Service and with restricted access.
Now, a group of people stands in a room. A massive pile of tusks covers the rear wall. More tusks lie on the floor. Words appear under a man walking with a cane. Richard Leakey, chairman, Kenya Wildlife Service.
We definitely will get rid of all of it. But first of all, we need to know how much we have here.
Yeah.
It's not all here. It's scattered around the country, and it's very difficult.
In the room, workers pass pieces of tusk down a line. The last worker sets the tusk in a pile.
How many tusks have we done now here?
At the moment here in Nairobi, we've done over 7,000 pieces. 7,000 pieces. In total, we've inventoried 55 tons. Because it's an electronic database, we can go back to every piece.
And Winnie, from here, it's going into shelves?
Yes, ideally, that's what we would like,
yeah.
But we don't have enough shelf space for all this ivory. So we are creating arbitrary shelves. You can see that is shelf number four. So we would like to build up shelves to hold on.
We don't want to spend too much money, because if we stop the poaching, why would we want shelves?
Perfect. So no shelves.
No shelves.
A worker picks up a tusk and lays it on the ground. Another moves a pen down an inventory sheet. Ian stands with his arms crossed.
There's hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in these stores in the wrong hands. And there's multiple examples across Africa of ivory being stolen out of government stockrooms and for it to be leaked into the black market. If that ivory doesn't go away, we'll never stop this poaching. So we need to destroy it.
A worker holds a tusk. Words mark the surface. Another worker reads from the inventory. His pen travels up the page. Two men set a huge tusk in a pile.
To me, you know, these are all just dead animals. The dead elephant, they all represent something that, you know, should be living and thriving. And what hits me so hard is, where's the beauty in these dead bodies? You know, these are just a bag of bones. That's why I just affiliate so closely with this destruction. Get it out of circulation. Kill the demand. This is the best chance in our lifetime to halt this slaughter.
The jumbled pile of tusks spreads across the room. Now, neon signs glow near the top of mid-sized city buildings. On the map, the marker moves from Africa to Vietnam. Words appear. Hanoi, Vietnam. Now, Huang walks on a busy city street.
One month ago, I was contacted by the Wildlife Justice Commission and Andrea Costa from the Wild Lead. They told me that out of the whole world, they have selected a village called Nikkei to further investigation on.
Men stand in an outdoor market.
It's a village that is about 10-20 kilometers away from Hanoi. And it's like the ivory and rhino horn village. They have done some previous investigation, but they never get to understand clearly what was this village about, what's the role of this village.
Now, a woman's hands use a pocket knife to cut a piece of cloth.
Be careful. Keep cutting with the knife so that the camera can go inside. I think that's enough.
Yes.
The woman slides a camera into the hole. Pixels cover her face. Huang casts his gaze downward.
Put it there and then screw it on. Yes, screw. Screw. We should put some things here. For example, your tampons.
Okay.
So if people open the bag and see them, they would close the bag immediately.
Buttons lie on a table.
Our setting is boyfriend and girlfriend. So we need to act accordingly and naturally.
Daytime, an aerial view of an intersection below. Huang looks over a balcony.
Vietnam is very special to me because this is actually the first time I'm taking more charge, taking more lead inside investigation. This time, I feel very nervous because this is the most dangerous mission I have ever been to. This is like a criminal village. So imagine if you and your partner, you were caught right inside this village. What could happen?
Now, cars drive over a congested bridge on the street.
So why is this Nikia village so special? Why is all the ivory trade only going through there?
Other villages have potential risks of getting caught by police.
Police don't come to Nikie to arrest people?
You know, people there have their connections.
Now Huang approaches a shop.
As we walk into the street, we see on both sides of the roads, people are selling openly a lot of ivory and rhino horn products. I just have never ever seen like a place like this.
The hidden camera feed shows Huang holding a tusk. He examines it. In the shop, Huang grabs a horn.
This is rhino horn?
We had hundreds of kilograms of ivory, which we just sold this morning.
Will they deliver for you?
Yes, they will. It's too risky to take on my own.
But how did they manage to transfer it across the border?
They bribed Vietnamese and Chinese police. If you cannot pay them off, it's a problem.
We realize there's some Chinese buyers there. They are professional ivory dealers, so we went with them into a house to meet the traffickers they have already arranged to meet.
The hidden camera feed shows Huang meeting with dealers.
From where do you import this ivory?
Africa.
Can you give us the price of ivory material?
Blood ivory is $1,300 per kilogram. Transportation fee to Hong Kong included, it'll be $1,500 per kilogram. We've been doing this for quite a long time. Nothing to worry about. As soon as we receive the full payment, we'll deliver it to your home. If you find something wrong about the product, you can get a full refund. We're not going to cheat you.
Will it be dangerous when we receive the products?
Normally, there aren't any problems, but there are always some risks. After all, it's illegal, so we have to do it secretly.
It's unbelievable. So they gave you a bank account at a certain moment, right? How does it work exactly with the bank account? In your understanding, belongs to them or belongs to a middleman?
The bank account, in my opinion, they belong to them because they are all Vietnamese name. And there's one border city between China and Vietnam, like within China. What they say is they will open a bank account there. And then what will happen is usually the buyer will pay the money to the bank account. And then these people will deliver the ivory and rhino horn to China for them.
A village like this is certainly covered and protected by corrupted government officials, right?
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
A woman pulls ivory from under a bed.
We are talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the gigantic quantity of ivory keep getting into China, keep getting into this black hole.
Now, a city skyline changes from day to night. Cars speed over an intersection. Lights glow on buildings. A row of flags blow in the wind. A portrait of Mao hangs over an arch. Soldiers march forward. Words appear. Beijing, China. Andrea walks through Tiananmen Square. Tourists mill about.
As White Leagues, it is not easy to operate in China. But today we are going to engage directly and meet an anonymous source. This person sent us a few videos on WildLeaks with very compromising information and offer her help to do more.
A unit of soldiers marches forward. Andrea stands in a crowd.
Internally, we now call this person Omega. She's Asian, and this is pretty much all I can say.
Andrea walks through a hotel lobby. A woman follows him, a few paces behind. Pixels cover her body. Now he enters a room. The woman enters. Andrea points into the room. She walks toward the bed. He follows.
So how are you?
I'm okay.
A lot of traffic?
Yes, as always.
The hidden camera feed shows a man opening a door. He enters.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This guy...
This is another room.
...up to the ceiling. He has millions of dollars here.
He gave us information that in Beijing area, they have about 300, 400 little small workshops.
400 workshops, wow.
Carving the ivory. I said, where do you get their stock? They actually have one of the top government guys.
In the company?
One of the police guys or military police guys. He also runs the business.
Run the business, so he has to...
Of course, because he's part of the politician's high rank. He easily gets the paper, how to sell the ivory. He totally trusts us. He tells us everything. It's worth it that we go there and arrange a lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
I'll bring you in, so you're my guest as well. He's comfortable with foreigners. Who is in this business? He knows a lot of Western people also involved with the illegal ivory trade. It's not only Chinese people.
The whole operation is built around Omega. We want to get as much proof as possible on these big players and show the Chinese government that the illegal trade here in China is out of hand, to give them more reasons to close down this evil market. Actually, I would say that the destiny of elephants is entirely in the hands of one single person, the president of China. So I think it's the first time in history that one person has in his hands the destiny of an entire species.
From above, a herd of elephants walks across a field. Their shadows move over the grass. Next, a hotel stands in a forested area. Words appear. Cobra 3 intelligence meetings. Kibo Palace Hotel, Arusha, Tanzania.
Wildlife crime has transformed in one of the largest organized criminal activities alongside with drug trafficking.
Operation Cobra 3, intelligence and information sharing, registered seizures of 1.3 ton of ivory and 65 rhino horns in Mozambique.
In a conference room, Elisifa meets with a woman.
The reason why I was looking for you, I've heard of you also dealing particularly in intelligence gathering. I thought that we should share something. I have a professional poacher operating in Mozambique and all over Tanzania. And of recent, we have intelligence which tells us that he's operating in Zambia.
Okay.
The image freezes. Georgina Kamanga, head of intelligence, Zambia Wildlife Authority.
This guy is known as Shetani, the devil. His actual photograph, I must admit, we haven't got it.
Okay.
But this is the man we're looking for. He's killing all the elephants.
So I think that one will also help us.
I've got his network.
Okay.
A graph.
This is him here, and you can see Shetani's syndicate.
These are the people he's communicating with.
He has a new number, which I will forward to your phone. Use your intelligence and telephone communication providers to see to whom he could be communicating when he's in Zambia.
A pilot sits in the cockpit of a plane. Its propeller turns. The plane moves down a runway. On the map, the marker moves from Tanzania to Zambia. Words appear. Lower Zambezi National Park, Zambia.
Hearing that Shetani is in Zambia actually scares me. And now gunshots were heard very close to the national park.
So this is more than a wake-up call to me. You know, all along, Zambia has been quiet. It hasn't experienced serious poaching.
Words appear beneath the pilot, Ian Stevenson.
Shit. Yeah, so it is definitely poached. That's not the one from the shots because it's too old. It's not from 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah.
The plane banks over the forest.
I didn't even know about that one.
Command control, command one, Sheriff.
All right,
all right. Warden, we just found an elephant carcass, copy.
Georgina looks out of the plane.
What's that?
Another carcass.
A fresher
one? That's spotted
here?
Another carcass on the right-hand side.
Sheriff, was it there first?
It's fresh.
Rally, we've just found another elephant carcass.
When an elephant has been killed, it actually breaks my heart because I imagine how long it has taken for that elephant to grow to that age, and then here is someone who just walks in for a few hours and just guns it down. It totally breaks me.
Georgina and a couple of rangers stand near the carcass. Georgina approaches. She stands with her hands on her hips.
I need to get the samples from this one.
A ranger lifts the ear of the dead elephant.
The whole head of this elephant is gone. It's missing. There is no head. So it's like they did not remove the ivory immediately from here. They removed the ivory from another place. They just had to carry the whole head with them.
The elephant's foot lies on a patch of dead leaves and sticks.
I'm now taking the whole thing very personal. I can't afford to see elephants dying like this. I can't afford that.
Now, a ranger moves a metal detector over the carcass. Cord stretches from the detector to his ear.
How many kilos does he have?
He said just 5. That's what he told me.
Yes, that same 5 kilos will incriminate him. You will see how you can buy time.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have someone who has ivories in Osaka, and they would like to sell it. They're in a hurry. So I just asked our officer to buy a bit of time until we return back to Osaka.
A ranger wears gloves. He picks up a bullet.
There? Yes, it's an AK-47 one.
Most of the ones made in Zambia have a full metal jacket made of a copper. Yeah, it's a full copper metal jacket, and that doesn't have that. Yeah.
A ranger holds the bullet, now in a Jeep.
Seeing these bullets that are of foreign origin and the information that I have about Shetani is very worrisome. This is now proving Shetani is really getting down to poaching our elephants in Zambia.
Georgina stares ahead. Outside of the Jeep window, the sun sets in the distance. From above, a large complex, the map and words appear. Headquarters, Zambia Wildlife Authority, ZAWA, Lusaka, Zambia. Georgina meets with officers.
If the guy is not going to open after knocking, then we have to fire. Mombeses.
When this dealer goes in, mm-hmm. Is it possible for us to come and force ourselves
you
in?
You can't. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong gate.
Mm-hmm. You see, gentlemen, don't just fire until we tell you to.
When?
Mm-hmm. We are now going in. We're going to a battlefield. Be strong, be vigilant, be alert.
In a van.
We're going to pounce when they start weighing the ivory. And then the informer is going to make a call. He'll just let the phone ring. And then officers, immediately, they'll know to say, it's time to go in.
Now, a city street appears through a lens. People ride bikes.
These dealers may very well be connected to Shetani because he's not the guy who goes in the field. He works with the collectors, the middle persons in the pyramid. They go to him with the ivory.
Georgina looks at a map on her phone.
They are now at the house.
The hidden camera feed shows men meeting on a porch.
Guys, come and see your package.
1, 2, 3.
You are not taking that one?
Can't you see how it is? How can he take it? It started to decay just like a human being does.
Now, Tusk sits on a scale.
It's $25 per kilogram?
I must calculate.
In the van.
This is the house on my left.
There it is, with a guard. This woman needs to be grabbed.
The camera feed moves toward a woman standing near a gate.
Hey. Sorry, Mama. Just be calm.
Why are you grabbing me? Be quiet. Be quiet. Come to the car.
The camera moves near the car.
Get in the car.
The agents force the woman into a car. Another agent runs toward the fray. Georgina stares through her windshield. Now the camera feed moves toward a gate. A hand reaches through the gate and opens it. Now the feed returns to the porch. Two dealers run away.
You. Don't run away. You've already been seen. Don't run away. Sit down. Sit over there. There he goes.
The hidden camera feed moves quickly through a yard and up over a dumpster.
You, idiot. You are going to die.
A man's hands cock a pistol.
Now, climb. Climb over and sit down.
On the porch.
We've been following this people.
Stand up. Easy, I'm sick. What are you sick of? We're all sick.
Let's go.
Now the agents enter the house.
Just break it open. Let's see why they lock it.
Where's the knife? Knife! Push it inside.
An agent slices open a duffel bag.
This is full-length ivory.
Full-length ivory.
Fresh. Very fresh. Fresh.
We've been crying that they are killing elephants, and they are here in this house.
Light shines on Georgina's face in the darkness. The handcuffed dealers sit on the porch.
They go in for more than 5 years with hard labor. These are people I don't feel pity for. They don't feel pity for the elephants or any other animal that they kill. I don't. I've got no mercy.
The female dealer sits on the porch. An agent stands with a rifle nearby. Now, shoes hang from a power line. An agent holds the duffel bag filled with tusks.
We are in a war zone. The poachers, the traffickers, each one is trying to win. So it is very important that I'm going to be working with Alisifa of Tanzania. We're really going to get down to where Shetani and his poachers are. We are not going to allow them to win the war.
Georgina leaves the room. Now, an aerial view moves along the river. A plane flies above the water. On the map, a dot marks a portion of Kenya. Words appear. Marsabit, Northern Kenya. A sitting man holds the barrel of a rifle.
The poachers will try to target the elephants here. They'll try to shoot them where there's water. We sleep during the day and work at night. But if the locals keep quiet, nobody will come here. If they talk, the poachers will come.
A ranger laces his boot. Ian Craig slings the strap of a pair of binoculars over his shoulder.
It's been raining for the last month, and so all the elephants have moved out of their sort of historical grounds around the protected areas further east, and it's moving into a Somali area where historically there's been a lot of poaching, and there's less and less presence of government here. So these elephants, they're on their own, there's nobody looking after them, and they're important to us.
Two elephants stand at the bottom of a hill. One approaches the other. The first turns and walks away. A group of rangers stands on a hill and looks down at the elephants. An elephant calf stands near its mother. A bird walks behind them. The calf falls. Then it stands up and runs in front of its mother. The bird flies away.
To me, every single elephant counts. These aren't just elephants. These are individuals with families and relationships. And so killing an elephant out of a herd is much more than just killing an individual animal. You're destroying a family.
The calf butts its head on its mother's leg. Another adult's tail swings side to side.
You know, elephants are led by a dominant mother who's making the decisions of where the elephant go and when they go. And if one is to lose that mother figure, suddenly you're left with teenagers, you're left with young animals having to make decisions without any historical memory in a world that is massively dangerous and threatening.
The elephant calf walks between two adults. Now, a ranger walks through thick vegetation. Ian ducks under a branch. Shrubs obscure an elephant and its calf.
No, it's... Jesus Christ.
Poor old girl.
A dead elephant lies on the ground.
Bastards.
Ian approaches the carcass.
Poor old elephant.
He touches the elephant's leg. Its severed trunk lies nearby. Flies swarm on the carcass. Ian looks downward as he walks away. The ranger stares at the carcass. Ian points to the elephant's midsection with his foot.
This is the one that killed it. It went directly to the heart.
Now, Ian and a ranger wearing a hat stare at the carcass.
It's an Ian. Yeah. As long as ivory is worth money, these poor animals are going to be annihilated. And these poachers will keep going till these elephants are finished.
Ian turns to the carcass.
Wait, follow.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Ian touches the elephant's ear and walks away. Now, lightly vegetated branches partially obscure another elephant. The elephant moves its head in the dappled sunlight. Next, raindrops run off of a window. The window frames a jet engine and wing. Fog passes and a city becomes visible below.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to London Heathrow's Terminal 5.
In the airport, Ian walks with a woman. He pushes a baggage cart. In a car, streaks mark a fog-covered window. Ian looks out.
Are we really in our generation going to allow the biggest mammal on Earth to disappear?
A windmill turns in the distance.
Losing elephant from Africa. It's just a slow erosion of humanity. Then what's next? We're going to lose a rhino. We're going to lose a giraffe. We're going to lose a lion. Suddenly, we're going to have an empty world full of people, but nothing wild.
Long clouds stretch across the sky. Outside of a house, the numbers 30 and 32 adorn adjacent pillars. Ian stands inside behind a window.
My mission is to find good, serious money to invest into elephant conservation in Africa, and that money has to come from somewhere.
Now, Ian rides in a car. He wears a suit.
We need to build fences. We need to put in water. And just managing elephants costs money. And yes, it's a national responsibility, but it's actually a global responsibility. The world wants elephants.
In a tailor shop, a bowler hat sits on a shelf near a bow tie. A photo of Prince Charles and Camilla sits on a higher shelf.
I need to try it on.
I'll get you to try it on. I just want to make sure it fits perfect. That's the 16, and I'm going to go up a 16 and a half as well. Just want to make sure it's nice and long enough so we can see the calves. It just looks sharper that way.
Wow. Putting on suits and ties and this high, all the froth and bubble around an evening, it's part of the psyche of making conservation important for people.
A tailor cuffs Ian's sleeve. Night. A train moves over Hungerford Bridge. Big Ben glows in the distance. Now, a cameraman holds a large camera over his shoulder. An SUV arrives in front of a building. Ian steps out.
The Duke of Cambridge has been a personal friend for many years, and I'll be seeing him today. We'll be talking through it. It's all about ivory. But I'm seeing him as a friend, and I'm just sharing a mutual passion about what we can do for elephants.
Tusk Conservation Awards, Prince William.
Sadly, Africa continues to face unprecedented challenges in terms of poaching, driven by the flourishing illegal trade in wildlife parts. Africa's elephant population has crashed from 1.3 million in 1979 to approximately just 400,000 today.
An elephant walks across the savannah.
The rangers face grave danger every day. Over the last 10 years, over 1,000 rangers have given their lives in the name of conservation. We live in a sorry world when an elephant requires the sacrifice of a human being for its own survival. But these people cannot face the bullets and the threats alone. It is up to governments and international bodies to unite behind them, ensuring that their efforts on the ground are fruitful.
An elephant stands in a field. A haze glows. Grass blows in the wind. The elephant turns its head. Now, an elephant calf stands in the grass and walks to the right. The calf grazes. Now, sunlight shines on skyscrapers. Words appear next to the map. Beijing, China. Andre and Omega in a car.
Let's check the cameras. You have
a... I do.
So you keep yours in the bag, right?
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
I'll put the camera on the table. It's like an evening bag, so I leave it on the table. I have another few friends coming along to the dinner as well, so that will make the dinner look more relaxed. He gets to know my other friends as well.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right, let's do it.
Cars pass on a busy highway. Now the hidden camera shows an ivory shop. Two men walk down a hallway. A bear pelt hangs on a wall.
It's a blanket made from wolf leg skin.
From wolf? So you need a lot of wolf.
Only legs.
Wolf. Wolf skin.
They need about 100 wolves.
You see that picture?
Yeah.
It's made by butterflies. All with butterflies.
From Brazil.
Butterflies are from Brazil.
It's like panda to China. It's kind of like the most first-class protected species. You can't even export.
Oh, wow.
Now a dealer holds open a polar bear's mouth.
Oh, yeah, how you're tense. Wow.
Usually they put this
very close, but...
I'm
really happy because he takes us to this unbelievable room filled with all possible stuffed animals and wildlife products. So we are really busting this guy.
A circular pattern made from butterfly wings.
And then everything goes wrong.
The camera feed plays. A man snatches a black object.
Close the door. Close the door. Where's the camera from?
Can we talk?
What is this?
Head to the bathroom.
The camera feed moves quickly down a hallway. It enters a bathroom. Then, a hand opens a stall. The door closes and a device comes into view. Darkness. A text thread appears. A Krosta, they found the camera. Driver, can I help? A Krosta, we are trying to get out. Stay close. The messages fade. An aerial view of Beijing. Buildings stretch into the distance. Andrea emerges from between two large statues and walks down a street toward the van. He adjusts his bag on his shoulder and walks to the passenger side door. Andrea opens the door.
There you go.
The van pulls away.
Really, fuck. It's all happening in 10 seconds. I saw one looking at this bag. He grabbed the bag, he opened the bag, he found the camera, and he destroyed the whole bag and the whole camera with all the wires and everything. And then there was a moment of, ice. And then Omega, I could see in her eyes, but she also told me, in order to better protect them, to get out of that room as soon as possible, because if they had decided to check everyone and then Google my name, and then they would have found the white leaks after 5 milliseconds. So I saw that they were kind of okay with me, so I asked, can I go to the toilet? Look, I leave here my bag, everything. I just need to go to pee. So they let me go, and in the bathroom, in the toilet, I unwire myself and I put everything here, so I have everything here.
Andrea lifts the top of his sock.
You know, here I have all the camera and the mic. I put it here. So the frustration is that at this point I cannot do anything for her, for them. I really hope they will find a way to talk themselves out somehow.
The footage plays on Andrea's phone.
Yeah, this is the moment, I think. This is the bag. And then she found something and she put it in front of the camera. Tuck. And then she grabbed it and she probably looking, why she's putting this thing here? And then they found it. Now they're checking the bag. He's checking her phone. He also grabbed the phone. So it's just bad luck and a clumsiness at the end of a very long day. That's what it was. But now they're in trouble.
Andrea licks his lips. He turns to the windshield. A taxi drives in the lane ahead of the van. Night. Andrea's reflection appears in a hotel window. Cars drive on a busy street below. Andrea checks his phone.
And then I get the message. She's safe. The team is safe. So the team got out safely, thank God, because the traffickers thought we're working undercover with the government and they're fucked.
Andrea walks away from the window. Daytime. The hotel window frames a nearby skyscraper. Motorbikes drive on the streets below.
I just talked to Omega and she's nervous. We're dealing with the top dealers, so you don't know with whom they are connected. With mafia, triads, it's too risky to stay in the country, so we decided to leave China as soon as possible.
Omega and Andrea sit.
How are you?
Good, good, good.
So happy to see you.
Yeah, here's the order.
That's the thing.
All the footage is on this.
We
need to take action today.
Just the beginning, yeah. Yeah, just the beginning. There's a lot of incriminating stuff, at least enough to trigger local investigations. And we'll go public with that.
I just say yes, go and do it.
But I'm really concerned about your safety. Potentially your picture can be anywhere.
Then I'm just out of it. I just go disappear.
I have to ask you, why you're risking your life?
I think it's decision-making time for China. When they see what the traders really are doing, I think the government will wake up and say, wow, the legal traders are doing illegal stuff. It's providing government a chance to make it better.
To make it better.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll do our best.
Now, a car and Jeep drive on a dirt road. They turn into a compound. Words appear next to the map. Arusha, northern Tanzania, in a Jeep.
Hello, Bonnie. What does she know about him?
The suspect is around his home. Now we are planning to go there. If it's possible to effect an arrest.
Okay, what do you need for this operation? What do you need now?
It is support. Support.
Because that guy is armed. And he has many arms there. I think you should plan carefully. Go with some commandos. The information coming in right now is saying that Shetani has been seen near his house in Dar es Salaam, and he will get into his home any time from now. Chikwe, tell Mweko to get 3-4 officers to provide cover. They have more guns. The special forces should be there if they try to run.
The Jeep climbs a hill.
I've been looking for this man for more than 3 years. I've been missing him so many times. So I will rush back to Dar es Salaam. But I will only be excited when I'm told, yes, we have Shetani in our hands.
Elisifa approaches a plane on a runway. Now, agents walk through the thick vegetation. One holds a rifle, another holds a pistol. On the plane, Elisifa looks out of the window.
Hurry up and spread out.
The agents run through the field.
Shetani, we know everything. You understand me? We already have your vehicle.
On the plane, Elisifa watches a video feed on his phone.
Shetani, where are the other cars you use for your ivory?
Don't lie to us.
On a runway, Elisifa uses his phone.
I just received the information that my hardcore poacher, Boniface Mariango Shetani, has been arrested.
Shetani stares.
At last we have him.
Shetani looks out of a car window. Handcuffs bind his wrists.
Clap hands, men, for the good job.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
My name is Mr. Boniface.
Mr. Boniface.
What about your nickname?
Shaitani. Speak up, the devil without mercy.
The devil without mercy.
Okay.
Seeing this man arrested. Oh, my friend. I couldn't believe my ears. Neither could I believe my eyes. Until I came close to him and even touched him. I said, yeah, really, we have you. We know everything about you. We know you very well. We know you better than you know your shirt. So it's better you don't argue too much. When we interview you, just be open.
A dog sniffs inside of a Jeep.
When he was arrested, we managed to get the cars that Shaitani owns and uses in poaching to traffic ivory.
The dog scratches at a compartment in the Jeep. It sniffs.
Chip!
Ahoy!
I know.
An agent holds a small piece of ivory.
Look, ivory pieces.
Other agents look at the piece.
Very good.
This is not part of the car. And it looks like some modifications were made by removing this tank.
El Asifa looks down toward the car.
So it simply means this car has carriage spaces. You understand? It means all this is for
ivory.
For sure, when we interrogate him, he's going to unveil to us these international brokers and traffickers. But I want to pull as many people as I can on my side. Because a one-man war can never be won. But if I can convince other persons to join me in this fight, for sure we can see the number of these endangered animals growing again to the old numbers, where we had over 100,000 elephants in Tanzania.
From above, a herd of elephants graze on a field of vegetation. Now, Andrea stares out of an airplane window. Sparse clouds hang over Hong Kong below. On the runway,
the final phase of our long investigation here. We acquire a lot of incriminating evidence about illegal trafficking.
Andrea walks through the airport. A double-decker bus drives over a bridge. Words appear beside the map. Hong Kong, government headquarters.
In Hong Kong, I'll be meeting a member of the local government, a member of the parliament, and I will present all the evidence that we have been, you know, accumulating in the last year.
Andrea stares out of a window. A woman enters a conference room.
Welcome to Hong Kong.
Thank you very much.
Andrea walks with the woman.
We work in the shadow. At the end of the day, you have to give what you found to media, have to give it to journalists, politicians, and they have to do the part of the job. Together, we can really change things.
So they're literally laundering ivory here in Hong Kong all the way to China. It doesn't even stay in Hong Kong, actually. It goes there.
Exposing myself in media and getting my face known would mean the end of my investigation career. That would put a lot of risk on myself, on my families, on my venture, on my college.